Hello and welcome to Sense in Numbers, a podcast created and hosted by two people who have varying levels of experience in mental health issues. We are not mental health professionals, we just want to create a format for people to listen, share and find support in. Each episode will concentrate on different aspects of mental health illness, treatment and experience.
We also feel it pertinent to deliver a trigger warning due to the subject matter of the podcast. You may hear some distressing details and stories. There will also be some mature language and possibly my squeaky crying voice, so listener discretion is advised.
Let's be honest, it wouldn't be an episode of Sense in Numbers podcast if we didn't apologise for something. This time it's mostly too Lowry because this episode was actually recorded back in, I think, April or maybe May last year in 2022. We had huge issues with the audio because it was recorded on Zoom. And so we've tweaked some bits, we've taken some bits out, we've had to re-record some bits, and some of it still sounds shite. In addition to that, both Ben and I have had struggles with our mental health over that time, and it was very difficult for us to sit down and record something. Ben probably came up with the most poignant reason. He said it felt hypocritical to put something out about mental health when we were both a bag of balls. But we're feeling much better now, and we're hoping to put a few more episodes out a lot more quickly. Whether that happens or not, who knows? But there you have it. Huge apologies to Lowry and to everyone else who has been eagerly awaiting our latest instalment. On this episode of Sense in Numbers, we're speaking with a former work colleague of mine. She's dialing in all the way from Australia. Her name is Lowry. She's going to speak with us about some of the mental health issues faced by members of the transgender community. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Absolute pleasure.
So what is the actual time over there now?
Currently 9:15.
Is it Saturday?
Yes.
Lowry, my friend, would you like to introduce yourself in a bit more detail?
I'm Lowry. I know Gemma from years and years ago. Without giving my age away, it's been quite a long time now. We worked together in the Air Force back in the UK. Yeah, it's been an interesting journey from when I was in the Air Force. I left around 12 years ago now, actually. So it was August 2010 I finished. And when I finished, I pretty much just left the UK. Straight up, I went and worked overseas for a little while. I did some private security work over in the Middle East. Then I relocated to Hong Kong in 2012. And then I've been in Australia since November 2017. I am transgender. Came to that full total realization about 3.5 years ago. I've been full-time Lowry for just over 2.5 years now.
I like the term full-time Lowry. Just to give you a heads up, since you left the UK, it's absolutely gone to shit.
Yeah, I keep an eye on the news and it's largely depressing.
We're definitely not part of a global satire show where everybody is laughing at us.
It's almost like a race to the bottom in terms of certain countries which have one thing in common, which most other countries don't have. The countries that are doing well don't have a particular media entity running the TVs.
So you say you came to the full realisation about 3.5 years ago. Around what time did you have some idea, or have you always had some idea in the back of your mind?
I've always had an idea, pretty much, since I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. There's always been something in the back of my head. Things that you think when you were young. I remember having fairly vivid dreams being young and visualising myself as a completely different person. And that basically bounced around in my head for years. But again, I think with the way society was back then, this was back in the sort of mid to late 80s, give my age away now, that wasn't an okay thing. So you just suppress it, push it down. Having spoken to a lot of trans people, and when I was going through the stages of really coming to the realization and realizing what I needed to do to be the person I really am, there's this cycle of acceptance and then pushing it away and burying it down, then it will always come back. So it used to be a cycle for me. The cycle for me was generally around 2 years, where you'd push it all away and then it would all come back. And that even goes to the physical stuff. So I used to buy things, and then in personal time and stuff like that, I'd dress up and just feel a sense of normalness and feeling, not necessarily euphoria, but just feeling like I was me. And then you push it all away again and just purge all of the stuff that you've got. And this is actually something that's fairly common in the community around what I call gender diverse people. So, because I view gender as a spectrum. Nobody's yeah. like, there is no, it's not a binary. People have both sides of masculine and feminine, and some people choose to express it, some people don't. So, but yeah, in the world of gender diverse people, especially with guys who have those feminine feelings, they go through cycles where they have things and then they'll push them away, and then it will come back again, it will build up, and then they'll push it away. And that's a lot to do with societal norms of what's expected of people. But also there's a huge amount of complication in there with like family issues and relationships and all of those types of things. But yeah, I've known, like realistically looking back and being honest with myself, I've known since I was about 6. When I was leaving Hong Kong, it got to the point where it was really, really starting to build. And I was starting to really have problems with my own identity. And that was causing me a huge amount of issues in terms of anxiety and depression. I got to the point where I was very, very, very down. I was in a really dark place and I'd never really been there before. There's a couple of mental health issues in my family history, but I'd never really dealt with those myself, or I'd never really been aware or tried to address the mental issues that in fact I had actually had. So my mum passed away and I never really addressed that mentally until after I came out and admitted to myself that I am trans and I needed to do the transition.
That must have been really tough.
Yeah, it was getting really, really bad. I did have suicidal ideation a little bit. And that was the point when I knew that I needed to do something. And my partner at the time had basically said, you need to go and get some help. You need to talk to somebody. I found an amazing organization in Australia, in Victoria, called Thorn Harbour Health, who offer free counseling services for people struggling with gender identity. And I went and I was talking to this amazing guy. This guy's name was Elliot. He was a trans guy. He'd been out for about 10 years and he was wonderful. Every single thing I said to him, he knew. He'd been through it. He understood. And it was nice to finally speak to somebody and say words out loud that I'd felt like I hadn't been able to say for basically 30 years. And there's a couple of moments where I really feel like things changed. The point when I knew I had to go and get help and to really, really dig into what was going on in my head was I was in the shower and I was looking at my body and I just collapsed in the shower. And I was in the shower for 3 hours, crying my eyes out. That's not normal, let's be honest. Like, that's not something that's okay. You know you have to do something. That was a breaking point for me. And actually a little bit closer to the time when I was starting to realize that I needed to do something about it. I'd got to the point where I was starting to have really fairly severe anxiety about going out in public in effectively guy mode. I'd already started to present in a feminine way in public. I'd started to go out a couple of times and I'd had some okay experiences. I hadn't had any hugely negative experience, which is a bonus. Like, that's a win, really. And then I was just getting to the point where it was just becoming too anxious. I was having like mini panic attacks, like just in a supermarket, because I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. And then the moment that really, really hit for me, there was two moments. One was the first time that I went to my counsellor presenting as Lowry, which was amazing. Elliot was absolutely unbelievable. He really, really, he said all the right things. He was like, you look more comfortable in your own skin. You're existing. You're being the person you're supposed to be. And I remember as well, I was cleaning my car one day. Ben will be excited about this because this is the music chat. So I was in my garage and I was cleaning my car out and I was listening. I was listening to the radio and it was a band called Twin Atlantic. I found Twin Atlantic at Sonosphere in 2009.
Ooh.
Went into the side tent. There was only like 30 people in there. I was stood next to this weird like muso journalist. He was just writing little notes and stuff like that. But they were unbelievable. Absolutely fantastic. Really, really good band. So I'm in the car and I'm cleaning the car out. And I'm already feeling really, really heavy with anxiety. And I was really down and I was thinking, what am I going to do here? What do I do with my life? I know that I need to make a change. And being brutally honest, if I hadn't made a change, I don't know how long I would have been around for, to be honest. I'd already had started to have those dark thoughts. So I'm in the car and I'm cleaning the car out and a song comes on and it's called Hold On. And the line in the chorus is, it's a risk worth taking to have a life worth living. And I burst into tears, literally burst into tears. It was the first time that I've really heard that song and listened to the words properly. And it just took me to pieces there and then. And it was that moment I was like, okay, this is going to happen. There's a thing in the trans community where like in the early support groups and stuff like that, and people talk about eggs. And it kind of comes from Twitter, really, where like on Twitter, if you're just a new user, you're just an egg. Like you don't have anything else, you just have an egg. And the way that people talk about it in the community is like, if you're trans, your egg is cracking. You're cracking, you're coming out. You're literally coming out of your shell and you are like blossoming into the person you're supposed to be. And somebody said to me, even before I'd admitted to myself, it was like, you're cracking. You are totally gonna go all the way with this. So I made the decision and I went to, I was still going to counseling and I went to my doctor and I talked to my doctor about medication. And yeah, I got access to hormone replacement therapy in December 2019 properly, which is after I started at Toyota. And day one at Toyota was day one Lowry, really full time, like existing. So it's been a real battle in terms of my mental health and also me being more aware about my mental health. I very much buried my head in the sand after my mum passed, being away from family in the UK and everything. It's been really, really difficult. I am on medication at the moment. My depression is anxiety led. So it's all based around anxiety. I have anxiety, severe anxiety. So I have generalized anxiety disorder, and which means I can freak out about pretty much anything, really. But because I can't get myself out of that anxiety situation, I catastrophize and I just go deeper and deeper. And then it leads into a depression, like just a depressive dip. And it's really hard for me to get back out of those because of the anxiety thoughts. But I'm working on it. I've tried CBT and, cognitive behavioral therapy, notes. I've tried running, working out, Pilates, just all of these things that you need to be trying. I'm working on those to try and keep going. And my mental health is improving. I absolutely know it is improving. I think for me as a trans person, being able to live my own truth and be the real person that I am has absolutely had a huge positive effect in terms of my mental health.
It's really interesting that you say your mental health is improving, but you still have issues, because there are a lot of people who would perhaps suggest that it was a reactionary thing because you were struggling with your mental health, transitioning that is. And if that was the case, then it would have gone away. So not being your authentic self absolutely had an adverse effect on your mental health, but you struggle with mental health issues anyway. It's a really important point to draw out.
I'd like to ask a question. How much do you think that the grief you experienced when you lost your mum put you in a situation where you thought, I've got to deal with embracing my true self? Or did you compartmentalise that before it had an impact on your transition?
So it was quite difficult because my mum passed just after I'd moved to Hong Kong. So I was on the other side of the world. I was still working in Iraq at the time. I flew back from Iraq and I was there with my mum when she did go. This is going to sound horrible. I'm so fortunate that I got to be there when she went. I was with her. I was holding her hand, and some other members of my family didn't have that opportunity. So I was with her. I got to talk to her for the couple of days before she went, before she passed. And I got to have those final moments and those last couple of days with her. Absolutely blessed to have had those, really am. I didn't deal well at all with when she went. I closed myself off from pretty much everybody in my life. That was quite easy to do because I was on the other side of the world. So it was really easy to do that. I guess when I started to realize, when things got really dark and I knew that I needed to make the significant life change that I did, at that same time, I was also coming to terms with my mum's passing and really, really understanding the difference that it made for me, and also kind of accepting the grief, because I tried so hard for so long just to push it away and to ignore it, like it never happened. And being on the other side of the world, I could kind of just pretend that she wasn't, I could pretend that she hadn't gone. She's just on the other side of the world like everybody else. And then when I started to realise my own personal situation and how I needed to make the transition, I also started to really take on board that she was gone and she'd never get to see me as my true self. And I maintain this, my mum was the only, if I'd have had the chance to tell my mum that I was trans and that I'm Lowry and this is who I am, she'd have shrugged her shoulders and said, I know. Like, absolutely she would. She's the only person who knew. I told all of the rest of my family and they had no idea. I had a friend on Facebook message me and go, what's the punchline? Sorry? And they're like, yeah, what's the punchline? Like, apparently nobody had any idea. I didn't realize I was so good at hiding it, to be honest. There is that relationship between my accepting of who I am and making that life change. And that ties in with my acceptance of my mum's passing and the grief that I felt for it. Yeah, definitely. They are absolutely linked. I think while I'm still struggling a tiny bit, I am struggling with my mental health currently, I think being able to deal with those two huge, which were my two huge major points of problem, which they were the main issues in my life at the time, was the lack of acceptance of my mum's passing and also my need to transition. I just dealt with it all at once. I don't do things by half. So I just jumped in both feet and just dealt with it. And I'm okay with my mum's passing now. I understand, because she had a really hard time. She beat cancer twice, and the third time was when it took her. Those three battles were basically over about like an 8-9 year period. She was really, really, really tried hard to stay with us, and she couldn't beat it the last time. So, but I know that she's in a better place now. She's not suffering, and that's something that we need to be grateful for, because she was having a really hard time at the end of it. And for me, transitioning and stuff, well, I'm absolutely heartbroken that she never got to see the person I am now. I think I'm a better person now.
How wonderful and heartwarming is it to hear that your mum would have just shrugged his shoulders and said, "Oh no."
She absolutely would have. I remember when I got into a relationship, and Gemma will know what I'm talking about. I rang my mum and I didn't even utter a word. And my mum just said, "Who is she?" So my mum knew everything about me. I sometimes worried that she bugged me, but she was so knowledgeable about everything without really having the means to know, unlike everybody else in my family, apparently. So who I should say, all of my family have been wonderful, really.
I was just gonna ask.
In terms of my transition and everything like that. So they're very supportive. And I have a nephew as well who's also trans, and he's doing really well. He's 19 now. He's living his best life.
Considering the job I do, relating to the age you said you were when you started feeling this way, I feel like I want to do better and possibly help those who feel a disconnect with their assigned gender at birth. How did it impact you at school?
Yeah, I absolutely had an effect on me as a kid. I had self-confidence issues when I was a child. I remember once my mum told me that my tide, granddad in Wales, he basically told my mum that he thought I didn't like him. And I was like, okay. And my mum said, because you never speak to him. I was like, yeah, I didn't really speak to anybody though. So I didn't. I was very, very self-conscious as a child. I was very small as a kid until I was like 14. And then I shot up by about a foot. I moved around a lot as a child as well, which was an issue, sort of bouncing around school to school. I'm a twin as well, as Gemma knows. I think you know as well, Ben. I think being in like military schools and moving around, I was a kid anyway, and being a twin, we just attracted quite a lot of attention anyway, and sort of targets for bullying and stuff at school. And the bullying at school didn't help. And obviously with my own self-confident issues, which looking back were primarily led by that disconnect that you described between my assigned gender and what I was feeling inside. But even then, and I guess growing up back then, there wasn't a huge amount of awareness around trans people and all of that. Like, honestly, this is going to sound ridiculous and absolutely is going to date me. My experiences of trans people or gender diversity, on the TV when I was growing up, was things like Kenny Everett. They're not exactly great examples of gender diversity, are they? So my whole thing was about it being it was something that it was almost programmed into me due to what I saw on the TV and in the newspapers and stuff like that, was this is something I absolutely have to hide at all costs. Yeah. And to get to the point where you don't have to do that, because basically you just live, and the whole time you've just got this thing in your back of the head, and it's something that you've been programmed that you need to hide. So you're always defensive, you're always protective. So that led to my self-confidence issues as a child, where I didn't want to be open with people, because if you're open with people, you can make a mistake and this can come out, and it can't come out because society won't accept it. That was really hard. Yeah, but thankfully stuff like that is changing. I mean, obviously there's a huge amount of issues in America and a few other places where there's this huge discussion about gender diversity and gender identity and how you deal with this with kids. But people firstly need to realize that this isn't a new thing. I've been feeling like this since I was 6 years old. This isn't new. And also historically, it's absolutely not a new thing. Almost every major civilization through history has had gender diversity through it. The indigenous people in Australia have almost a formalized version of transgender in their society. They have sister brothers and brother sisters. This has been around for 40,000 years. This isn't a new thing that they've just invented. It's not something that Western culture has just magicked out of the air. It's not an extreme leftist view or anything like that. This has been around as long as people have been around. It's not a cultural philosophy. It's something that's deeply ingrained in with you from the moment you're born. You don't get to pick it. Somebody said to me once, why did you choose to be trans? And I was like, God, no, I did not choose this. Why would I choose to burn my life to the ground and start all again at 40 years old? Like, what kind of lunatic would do that? Like, nobody. I think there's a lot of misconceptions in terms of people's understanding of what it is and how they can best deal with it. In terms of how to deal with it in current children, I don't know. I don't really have much contact with young children these days, mostly because I'm not a huge fan of them. I find them annoying and noisy, and I'd rather hang with my dogs. But
I knew there was a reason we were friends.
Just an awareness and just an openness. And I think it's changing, like with things that are visualized on TV and all of the stuff like that. And the only thing that you can do is just be open. I mean, I would never advocate pressing somebody and asking them, and just be there and be open. And if they want to discuss, and if they want to, I don't know, say you have a mufti day and like this girl wants to come in and she wants to come in like a football jersey or something like that, it's fine. Like a young lad wants to come in and I don't know, like a Frozen dress or something, that's fine too. Just be open and let kids experiment and let them live their own lives. Let them make their own choices, make their own mistakes, and they'll turn out as the people that they're meant to be.
A mufti day, for anybody who isn't aware, is the term we use in the military for a non-uniform day, basically.
Recently, a colleague of mine encountered a pupil who was clearly struggling, not concentrating, daydreaming, that kind of thing. And then rather than moan or chastise, she just listened to them discuss their feelings and issues around their gender identity, and it was clear that a weight had been lifted from them.
It's interesting, like, I daydreamed a hell of a lot as a child. I still do, to be honest. Like, I'll just drift off and zone out, and it gets me in a lot of trouble. But yeah, I would do that at school all the time. I would just like drift off, and if there was a teacher there who was willing to listen, what are you thinking about? And you just feel comfortable enough to just say what you're thinking about. Oh, well, I'm actually thinking about how I'm not actually a little boy, I'm a little girl instead. And to have somebody just willing to hear that and not even make any significant changes or anything like that, just to listen. And to have that, and like you described, like have a weight lift from you. The first couple of months were hard for me, like after I came out and I went, so I was living as a female full time. They were really hard, but I just started a new job and I wasn't getting the medical care that I needed in terms of my medical transition. And I had real issues around, like, because one of the other things that's difficult, and this isn't specifically a transgender issue, this is an issue for a hell of a lot of people in the world right now, is I had huge body issues as well. I really didn't associate, not only my own physical makeup, but my own appearance didn't really match what I had in my head. That was causing me a huge amount of anxiety as well. So my first 3 months were really difficult, because even just being out in public sometimes was hard work. Always questioning what people are thinking when they're looking at you, your interactions that you have with people, and trying to battle through that. I remember there was one incident I was in a shop. I'd placed an online order, click and collect, and I went to pick it up. There was a young guy behind the counter, and I was like fully, like, I was wearing a dress and I had my hair up and I had some makeup on and stuff like that. And this guy called me bro 10 times. And I was like, I said after this like third time, please don't call me bro. And he was like, oh no, it's just the way I talk. And I was like, I don't care if it's just the way you talk. It's disrespectful. Please don't do it again. And he just carried on and carried on and carried on. And that absolutely decimated me for like 2 weeks, because you just have those issues. So it was really hard in terms of like my own appearance and how my perception of how people were perceiving me. So like a proper wormhole to go down. But that's what a lot of mental health is. It's just wormholes that you just end up diving into that you really shouldn't. Absolutely don't get involved in this. It's like Twitter doom scrolling. Just cut it out. You don't need to do that. Why are you doing that? Yeah, there's those issues. And I had a couple of issues at work. One where one of my big bosses had a slip and misgendered me, and I just burst into tears and walked out. That kind of ruined me for a week. I think that's one of the things that maybe people don't think about too much in terms of trans people and stuff like that. But the impact that their words can have on somebody who is struggling with their mental health alongside their gender identity, and they're trying their best to be their best person, and then if somebody just says the wrong thing, it can really absolutely decimate them. And it's really, really challenging, and it's really tough. It's hard to put up that barrier and just, because it's quite easy, because a lot of people, I mean, maybe not people who are listening to this, but I've spoken to people before and you kind of get the feeling they're just like, oh, well, you just brush it off. But it's not necessarily that easy to brush it off. He's never met me as anybody else except Lowry. So that tells me that it's one of two things. He's either got a fundamental misunderstanding of what a trans person is, or he just sees me as a dude in a dress. It's a really fundamental misunderstanding of who I am as a person. And it absolutely tore me to pieces. And people will just say, just brush it off. I think one of the hardest things about that happening is you assume you're in a safe space. I'm in my work. I've been there for 2 years already. It's all been going amazing. And you can't constantly live with barriers up. You have to be open. You have to be yourself. You have to be your best self and just live and be open and involved and everything like that. And if you're doing that, you can't have this constant defense up where you can just brush those comments away. So when that happened, it absolutely destroyed me. It was really hard, but I'm getting better at dealing that. It's going to be interesting in a couple of weeks' time when I start my new job. It's just something that I'll have to deal with again. And probably, honestly, for the first month I'm at the new job, I will be there with my guard up. I will be defensive and I will be prepared for mistakes so that when they do happen, I can try and shrug them off as best as I can. But it's always there and it's always a worry. It's always just a little bit of, it's a needle of anxiety in the back of your head that they're not going to see you as you actually are.
It's really enlightening. I know it's from a bit earlier on in the conversation, but I'd never heard about buying loads of clothes and stuff and then purging only to do it all over again as you try to suppress who you really are. So it's understandable that once you do transition, it can re-traumatise you to have people project their assumptions and prejudices onto you, given what it's taken to get where you are.
I also think that we, as a society, more specifically straight white dudes, can do better. Don't have to make a big deal over it because it doesn't impact us in any way. It's just frustrating to see so many people get bent out of shape over pronouns.
When I told my brother, because I told my brother when he came over to visit a couple of, like, 3 years ago. So he was over to visit and I told him. And it was quite funny, like, because literally one of the first things that he said to me was like, congratulations on giving up all of your white male privilege. I'm like, oh, okay. No, I haven't really thought about that.
Do you hope one day that people will stop asking, as in tell me your story? There must be a time when you feel like you don't want to talk about it anymore.
The simple short answer is yes, absolutely. I do wish that. I think because I'm me and I like to talk a lot, the long form answer would be it probably relates back to something else that we talked about a little bit before. And it kind of came into my head then is I have mental health issues outside of being trans. If I wasn't trans, I think I'd still have some mental health issues, particularly centered around my mum and COVID. COVID caused me a huge amount of problems. And I think the question in terms of people asking that question, and I mean, possibly rightly so, interested in my story and my journey in terms of being a trans woman. But me being a trans woman is like this much. It's like, it's a very small part of who I am. And often I feel like my entire existence just gets boiled down into, oh, Lowry, she's a trans woman. I'm like, well, no, there's so much more going on with me than just me being trans. But that's all that anybody ever wants to talk about. So I've kind of bounced on and off of like dating sites and stuff like that. And I've been asked questions about my physical makeup. I've been asked questions about my journey. And it's very often the very first thing that people will ask. It's easy to do that in an online space. And one of the things I say to people is like, if we just met in a bar, would that be your first question? And the answer invariably is, of course not. But to me, I don't see a difference between an online world and an IRL world, really. It's all the same. You should behave the same way online as you do in the real world, I guess, to me anyway. And not to disparage what we're doing right now talking about this stuff, but I do get a bit frustrated with talking about my journey and how it's going this way and why I made this choice and how long have I known and all of those things. It can get quite frustrating a little bit. And I absolutely long for the day when it just isn't an issue. I'm just Lowry and that's it. It's fine. But if that's the price I have to pay to be my authentic self, it's worth it.
As we know, in terms of general mental health issues, it's so prevalent, isn't it? It's almost everyone or will be at some point in our lives.
I never thought I'd be afflicted with it. Or I think I'd just pretended it wasn't happening. Like, I'd had mental health issues and just ignored them for such a long time. And then it got to breaking point and I was getting to some really dark places, and that was why it came. And I've tried really hard. I've done a lot of reading. I've listened to a lot of podcasts, and I've listened to your podcasts, all of them. And they're really helpful. It's amazing. It's really, really good. Even just at the base level of just to know that you're not the only person feeling like that. Like, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. So
is there anything you could point people to in order for them to get a better understanding of trans issues or people who are transitioning?
Thorn Harbour Health is it's a local organisation in Melbourne, Australia. They were fantastic. I mean, in terms of awareness, Mermaids is an amazing charity. They do a lot of work around trans youth. They've really raised awareness around the mental health of transgender youth in the UK. I don't know the exact numbers, but the attempted suicide rate of transgender youth compared to non-trans children is massive. It's like 8, 9, 10 to 1. Having the awareness for young kids who are struggling with this is huge, and Mermaids are really raising that awareness, and they're doing their best to support this stuff. There's places online that you can go for support groups and stuff like that. Honestly, when I first realized what was happening and I came out, I jumped on a Discord server. The Discord server is just, it's quite funny actually, it's just called CD, so Crossdress, and the logo is literally just a CD. And it's really funny. It's like a really cool little in-joke. And I joined that, and I talked to loads of other people who were at that point of where I thought I was. I wasn't sure of how far I was going to take my journey. I kind of knew in the back of my head that it was like all I was going the whole hog. To be in a group space where I could just be Lowry online in a safe space, everybody would call me that, everybody would use my correct pronouns, and we could talk about, it sounds really superficial, but talk about fashion and looks and your feelings and what you want to do here and what you want to do there and stuff like that. But it was a huge support, and there's lots of these little communities, these little places that people gravitate to for their support with other people who are feeling the same thing as them. So they're on Discord, they're on Reddit, there's Facebook groups. You can, they're all out there, and you just need to seek out the people who are going to help you and look after you. And just help you be the person that you know you are inside. That's my experience of where I have been. There's loads of other things. I was very lucky to meet a very prominent transgender advocate in Melbourne. And she's amazing. She used to host a radio show on Joy FM, which is like a LGBT radio station in Melbourne. She listened to what I had to say. She was really supportive and understanding of my journey. There's an absolutely amazing resource in Melbourne called Fitted for Work, which helps disadvantaged women back into the workplace, basically gives them clothes for interview and fit for work when they return to the job space. And they cater for all women. So they look after survivors of domestic violence, but also trans women who are just making their start in the world. Because I don't know if anybody's told you this, but reinventing your entire persona and kitting yourself out with all of the clothes is a very expensive business. So having all of that support and having those support structures around is absolutely amazing. And to have those people around who can do that assistance and stuff, it's brilliant. I'm sure that there's something very similar operating in the UK. I don't know what it's called, but yeah, there's bound to be something very similar out there.
And here's a question for you, Lowry. Has your eyebrow game changed since you've transitioned? Because I believe it's all about eyebrows nowadays. Am I right?
They've always been a big thing. I always took care of them anyway. But yes, the eyebrow game has changed.
All right.
Also, so has the lash game, to be honest.
Oh, your lashes are beautiful.
They're expensive. They should be. In terms of like makeup and stuff like that, I used to religiously wear makeup every single day. And then after COVID, because I was working from home, so I started working from home in March 2020, and I was basically at home the entire time until I think it was the February 2021 where things started to ease off. I think that was my first day back in the office. And I'd said to myself over Christmas, I was like, I've changed enough. Like, I'm not going to wear makeup to go back to work. I'm just going to like rock natural and see how I go. And that was huge. Like for me, just that change point of just not feeling, because I was using makeup as a crutch. But now I put makeup on today, and that's the first time I've worn makeup for maybe about 6 months. generally on a day-to-day basis, I don't. I'll see how I go in my new job, but if I'm going out like a proper like glam night and stuff like that, I'm going out tomorrow night to a place called Piano Bar, which is like cabaret and drag and stuff like that. So I'll make an effort tomorrow, but generally it's now just only when I really feel like I need to.
Yes, you mentioned early on about COVID and the impact it had on you. What was it specifically about it that you struggled with?
From my personal view, it was difficult in the sense that I felt like I'd only just started to make progress. I'd gone full-time Lowry in September 2019. So I was working every day at Toyota and it was brilliant. I was living my life and I'm getting on with my job and everybody's accepting and it's great. And I did that for 6 months and then the world shut down. And I effectively got locked in my house for 2 years, basically, because I don't know if you know a huge amount of the lockdown situation that happened in Melbourne, Australia, but it wasn't particularly friendly. For me, it was partly that I was starting to make strides on my transition. I felt like I got absolutely hamstrung from that, but also being just shut away and not having the opportunity to meet people and just get on with life. So it was really difficult. I mean, my situation was absolutely no worse than anybody else's. It was probably in most cases better. I wasn't living on my own, so I had somebody else there to bounce off. I had the dogs, which are a huge crutch for me mentally to have the dogs around. Looking back on it now, I kind of look at it in a slightly different way to help me deal with it mentally. Is basically I was just cocooned away, and at the end of that 2 year period, I got to burst out of it and I was a completely different person because I'd basically had 2 years of medication behind me, and physically I'm a different person and mentally I'm a different person. Even like I've had people comment that I'm a different person personality wise as well. I think I'm still largely the same person that you would have known, Jem, like way back, but I've definitely had a huge amount of personal growth in that space. And a huge chunk of that took place in the last 2.5 years. Everybody's had their own personal challenge to get through. I absolutely would never try to 11 a reef anybody in terms of their experience through COVID. I learned a lot about myself. I learned I'm not very good at being on my own, despite the fact that I am inherently an introvert. It's really weird. I am an introvert, but I love chatting to people. I love hearing stories and I love telling stories. I'll never be the life of the party. And again, going back to when we knew each other way back, I was never the person that would be standing up. But I love chatting to people and I love hearing their stories and I love telling stories as well. And that's what I've learned, is not very good at being on my own and I have to find ways to connect to people. I think intrinsically every trans person has this, but I think I had it beforehand anyway. I have imposter syndrome like to ludicrous degrees. I spend my work days waiting to get found out.
we had this exact conversation last night. He's looking for new jobs and he can't sell himself. I have to help him write his applications because he'll write what he wants to write and then he passes it to me and I'll make it actually say what he's good at and what he can't do it. We had this exact conversation yesterday.
Every time someone knocks on my door, I'm like, is it? You're going to tell me from the whole class? We've checked your form, Ben.
Thank you for the opportunity to just chat. It's been amazing.
Thank you so much for your time, Larry. You are absolutely amazing and I appreciate your candidness and just you being awesome.
I'm just me. I'm just plain old Lolo.
In a Columbo-type fashion, there's just one more thing I'd like to add to close out this episode. To the people who post anti-trans content and comments online, if any of you are listening, I implore you to listen to Lowry's story. I mean, really listen. And next time you feel like making negative comments out loud or online in response to the discussion around gender diversity, stop and ask yourself a few questions. Is it necessary for me to comment? What am I contributing? What impact might my words have on someone who's struggling with gender identity? And in the extreme, might my words hurt an innocent person I don't even know to the point that they consider or attempt suicide? Might their life not feel worth living? Please seek to understand. Thank you.
must have been something you said. You caught me off guard and alone, running round the streets in the dark, trying to find my home. You can listen to my heartbeat, like the rain.